Our readings from Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
There are lots of comparisons between the world war and the coronavirus pandemic. There's talk of baddies. The baddies allegedly in some scientific laboratory in Wuhan, through to the baddies in the wet market where this virus may have originated, through more locally to our own baddies who might try and step too close to us while we're shopping. And then, of course, there are our heroes as well, the heroes of our frontline NHS staff, our lorry drivers, those who've worked tirelessly keeping the food on the shelves. There have, of course, been too many deaths. Even one death is too many. And families torn apart, the heartbreaking stories of families being unable to be there when loved ones are dying. What we are all living through in these uncharted, uncertain and unprecedented times is a trauma. It is traumatic. And we don't know when it's all going to end. We live in the knowledge that we could one day touch some door handle that hasn't been cleaned and be dead a week later. We can't plan. Many of us are struggling with our homeschooling. Some of us are really isolated. And even though some of us have absolutely nothing to complain about, perhaps surrounded by family, a roof over our head, food on the table, and possibly heaps of time, more time than we know what to do with, we're finding it hard to sleep, hard to concentrate, hard to be productive, and hard to maintain loving relationships. Some people are struggling with binging, whether it be binging on Netflix, binging on alcohol or food. And tragically, domestic violence, we read in the papers, is skyrocketing. And in all of this, we're yearning for an end to it all. We're yearning, in effect, for a post-coronavirus VE day of our own. The moment when we can all pile out into the street and we can shake hands, we can dance, we can kiss, we can be close together once again. But before we can do that, we have to endure. We have to persevere. We have to show great patience and fortitude. Much like the airmen who were here back in the Second World War at RAF Finnmear. RAF Finnmear was an operational conversion unit, operational training unit, an OTU, and its job was to transform aircrew into battle-ready airmen, for Bomber Command's war machine. And with a high tempo of training operations here, many planes crashed and many young lives were lost. Finnmear was flat out for the majority of the war. And sometimes when I walk around here, I can imagine the drone of bombers overhead, the sound of laughing air crew, of banter. Just behind, in front of me down there, is where all the WAFs, the lady, the women RAF personnel were based. And despite all that noise, despite all the camaraderie and the banter, many people here would have been scared, and I'm sure everyone would have been yearning for the war's end. The crews trained here would have ended up flying bombing missions over occupied Europe, many failing to return, and some badly damaged, returning on what was known as a wing and a prayer. Tim Venn, who read our passage from Romans chapter 8, served as an EOD or a bomb disposal officer. Now, I can only imagine what it must be like working on a bomb to try and defuse it. Likewise, I can only imagine what it must have been to have been in a damaged aircraft, limping back home over occupied Europe, losing height, losing fuel, on a wing and a prayer. But what I can imagine is the prayer bit. Now, we believe that this passage was written by the Apostle Paul, who we think wrote this letter to the church in Rome. And Paul was no stranger to isolation, having been in prison for years. He'd experienced tortures and beatings. And yet through it all, he wrote some of the most fantastic letters in what joins together to form what we call the New Testament in our Bible. And in the face of persecution, he asks, if God is for us, who can be against us? He understood that because God gave up his only son, Jesus Christ, to die for us on the cross, God was without doubt on our side. Paul knew that God was with him through the beatings, through the torture, and that because of that, no one could condemn him. A picture of that sort of confidence might be like a young child being involved in a school playground argument, but having his father next to him, a father who was the world heavyweight boxing champion. Now, of course, nobody would dare to lay a finger on him in the context of an argument like that with this big father next to him. Now, that's a physical picture of the spiritual reality that Paul felt. Those opposing Paul were torturing him. They were beating him physically. But Paul knew that it was his spiritual life that was far more important than his physical life. He asks this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, he could have added, or coronavirus? All of those things would of course separate us physically, but none of them could separate him spiritually from God. He says that he faced death all day long, and as a persecuted Christian was just like a sheep being led to be slaughtered. But in verse 37, he says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So far from being like slaughtered sheep, he described himself as a conqueror. And he explains why in two of the most incredible and most powerful verses in the whole Bible. He says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. He absolutely nails it. Nothing in the universe can separate him from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That is how powerful God's love for you is. Nothing can separate you from it. But the question is, do you want to accept that love? As we face the continued threat of this pandemic, even if lockdown is eased this coming week, can I encourage you to accept God's love? The love of God that no virus, no pandemic, not even death itself can separate you from. If you would like to explore the Christian faith and this great and wonderful hope that we have in Jesus Christ, why not join one of our online Alpha courses? They are free, easy to join via Zoom. So if you're interested, check out our website, bpchurch.uk/alpha. I'd love to welcome you on one of those courses. Let me close in a prayer. Heavenly Father, would you give us a huge sense of gratitude as we remember the sacrifices made by many, including some who would have been based and worked here during the war, as we celebrate VE Day 75 years ago. Would you bless us with that same resoluteness in the face of danger, with perseverance as we struggle, and with patience as time wears us down? And above all, would you bless us with the peace that comes from the knowledge of the love you have for us that cannot be broken. In Jesus' name, amen.